Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Add nothing to his words, lest he reprove you, and you will be exposed as a deceiver. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Put falsehood and lying far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Provide me only with the food I need, lest, being full, I deny you, saying, "Who is the Lord?" Or being in want, I steal and profane the name of my God. Verbum Domini. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet. Remove from me the way of falsehood, and favor me with your law. The law of your mouth is to me more precious than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Your word, O Lord, endures forever. It is firm as the heavens. From every evil way I withhold my feet, that I may keep your words. Through your precepts I gain discernment. Therefore, I hate every false way. Falsehood I hate and abhor. Your law I love.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam. Jesus summoned the 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither walking stick, nor sack, nor food, nor money, and let no one take a second tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. And as for those who do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them." Then they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and curing diseases everywhere. Verbum Domini. book of Proverbs is a series of reflections on life. One of the key elements of Proverbs is that it usually doesn't depend on saying anything like, the Lord said to me, the Lord proclaimed this through me, the word of the Lord, the oracle of the Lord. You don't see that in the book of Proverbs. It's a very different kind of book, and we'll be going through a couple other books like it. That wisdom comes from human reflection. It comes from observing the facts and events of life. It uses a God-given gift, reason. And the assumption is one that is very basic to our own Catholic understanding of the world. Truth is one. All truth comes from God. And the revealed truth of God and that which we can learn through the use of reason and experience fit together. A lot of times we have to think carefully about this, but the idea that some wags have held is that, a good example would be Mark Twain, faith is accepting things that can't be true. Now that's Mark Twain, who was very much a wise guy. No, faith is accepting what's true, and reason also seeks what is true. And we do so because it's true. That's what we care about. And this is something that has entered into sacred scripture. That's very important. And if you notice, throughout, we're coming to the end of the book of Proverbs, but throughout the book, it simply states facts. Foolishness is close to a son, but the rod of discipline drives it far away from him. God didn't say, this is how you got to do it. No, this is an observation of anybody who has children. They have a lot of foolishness in them, all on their own, as Mr. and Mrs. Packer used to say. And the rod of discipline would certainly drive it far away. That's an observation of life. And you live that out using that wisdom. But here we see in this final section, the second to last chapter. The last chapter is a praise of the good wife. But in this section here, notice it says in a very different style from an ideology from what's been said before, every word of God is tested, and he is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Add nothing to his words, lest he reprove you, and you will be exposed as a deceiver. So there are two things here. On one hand, he's warning us that every word of God is tested, and so it's going to be something that is true. And that's part of the whole Bible. Israel tested the words of God. They didn't just take everything that every prophet ever said. Think back, a good example would be in the book of Jeremiah, how one prophet said, Babylon will be defeated. And Jeremiah had been told to take a yoke, an ox yoke, put it on his neck and said, we will be led into slavery by Babylon. They said the opposite things. And the prophet who said, we're going to defeat Babylon. They'll be totally destroyed. He took that yoke and broke it. So what the Lord told Jeremiah to do is go get a yoke made of iron. You thought that the other one was bad? It'll be worse because you try to go against Babylon. And which one was right? It was tested by history. Babylon not only defeated Israel, but destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, burning both down to the ground. They tested the words of the two prophets saying the opposite, and the facts were shown in history. And that is part of all of Revelation, but what's amazing is that this is in Proverbs, and it's saying that even that wisdom that we have learned, that deep reflection that has been tested over time, the Proverbs just weren't come about by someone sitting back trying to think big thoughts and be creative. No, they were tested over experience and looking at what happened in life. And he's saying wisdom also is tested. And that this too, this wisdom, this reflection that comes from the reason that God gave us, this is tested. And if you take that word, God is a shield for those who take refuge in Him. This is a very important principle. God gives refuge to those who use tested wisdom rightly. Now, of course, that means we have to keep testing it. We go through life, and we live at a time right now where a lot of people are rebelling against God. They're the fastest growing religious position is to be not for God, not against God. I just don't know. And in many cases, they can add to the fact, I don't know, I'm an agnostic, that I'm also too lazy to really sit through and think about this. We see in our society many people who are trying to come up with their own personal way of morality that is generally considered immorality. This is what people think. They're being very creative. Those of us here who hear confession, some of us for a long time, know the sinners are really not that creative. We pretty much hear the same sins, and if you listen to, you can find a lot of old sermons. This is where you see what we'll hear tomorrow from the book of Ecclesiastes. Ein kol chadash tachat hashamash. There's nothing new under the sun. That really applies to the sinners. They haven't changed. Their sins are pretty much the same. They're embarrassing. People think, oh, I'm so ashamed of what I did because nobody's ever done. No, this has been done before. The sin is normal. And a lot of people think that they're being creative, new, and bold, when in fact, a lot of the stances that they think are new, modern, and the cutting edge, like abortion, homosexuality, all that, the Greeks had done all this not long before their whole civilization collapsed. The Romans had done all this stuff not long before their civilization collapsed. And we see the kind of barbarity that's going on in a number of our states, where states like California allow you to steal $950 a time. They allow that. That was the kind of barbarity that we saw when the tribes came and did the same thing. They didn't limit themselves. They just took everything. as they made the Roman Empire collapse. This is not new. We, as people of faith in God, come to him and trust that his word is tested. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, has been tested for a long time. It's been about 3,300 years since Moses. That's a good long test. And that brings stability to a nation. The commandment against adultery brings stability to families as we see our families collapse. Of course, there's a crisis to the vocation to the priesthood. A lot of our parishes, you hear about it. But you have a prior crisis where people have given up on marriage, so that now the majority of adults, for the first time in our history, are not married. And they're moving from one person to another. This is chaos. While the Word of God against adultery, against divorce, against breaking up family, that's long tested. And we trust in that Word. And we don't want to change his words, as this verse says, lest God reprove you and you will be exposed as a deceiver. Do you want God telling you in your pro-abortion stance, you are a liar? In the breakdown of family stance, you can love whom you want. Isn't that one of the phrases politicians, love whomever you want, how you want, when you want? Do you want God to expose you as a deceiver? It's okay to steal from big corporations and stores and such. And as one poor store manager found out when he kept reporting theft to the police, that they threatened to arrest him for reporting the thefts. If you call us one more time, we're going to arrest you. Does that police chief want God to expose him as a deceiver? No, all of us have to be clear than that. And this is why he makes a prayer. And this is unusual in the book of Proverbs. Among the prophets and in the books of law, and of course in the Psalter, we pray to God for wisdom. That's why there are so many psalms of wisdom. Wisdom psalms that pray to God for reason and for understanding. But here is one of the few times in the book of Proverbs that it says a prayer. Two things I ask of you, speaking to the Lord. Deny them not to me before I die. Put falsehood and lying far from me. That's his first request. I want to be committed to the truth because it's true. Something that sets us up, not only that we like rational truth, but also because it sets us on the side of God, on the side of Jesus Christ, who says, I am the truth. He identifies himself as truth in John 14, verse 6. And the Holy Spirit is defined as the Spirit of truth, the Paraclete, in John 14 and 15 over and over again. In John 16, he is full of truth from Jesus, that this truth belongs to him. And by saying, I don't want to be a deceiver, I'm saying I want to be with Christ, versus being on the other side, Because in John chapter 8, I think it's verse 43, our Savior Jesus says, you are of your father, Satan, who is a liar, the father of lies, and a murderer from the beginning. We take those two sides. Those are the two camps to which we will belong. And we pray to God, I want to be on the side of Jesus, who is truth. Jesus, my King, who is truth itself. And I want his Holy Spirit to lead me to truth, not to deception. So put falsehood and lying far from me. But also, he asks, don't give me poverty, because I don't want to become tempted to be a thief. Don't give me riches, so that I don't become tempted to arrogance. But rather, give me what I need so I can stay focused on you, just as we say in the prayer that our Savior gave us, give us this day our daily bread. Notice a little added point I would mention. Our Lord didn't say, give me enough bread for the month. Give me enough bread for the year. You see that in your Bible? I don't think so. Give me my daily bread so that I continue to depend on you, trust in you, not only for my daily bread, but for the truth that gives me the meaning of life, the goal of life, and eternal life in heaven.